You're listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flukiger, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey there. Welcome to today's show. We're starting a little bit late, but that's okay. If you're waiting and you've been here, it's going to be worth the gig. So today, we're going to talk more about one new and different way to get to your ultimate life. And I've got a special guest who you'll recognize, Joy Flukiger. Yeah, same last name. You might think she's related, and she is. She's my business partner. Oh, and wife, and angel, and all kinds of stuff. Joy, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I appreciate you inviting me on the show.
So today, I want to feature what Joy does. I always ask guests, you know, what they're doing to add good to the world and make a difference and that kind of stuff. And Joy has launched about 10 years ago something brand new for her that isn't like anything else she's done. Joy, tell us about what you do.
Well, I am a publisher. I am the founder and CEO of Red Aussie Publishing. It's a full-on publishing house that may rival the New York publishing houses someday. One day, maybe it already is, I don't know. But we're a full service publishing house. We mostly publish nonfiction books. Probably now I've done, I don't know, close to 30 books over the 10 years. And, you know, things are heating up for me because I've got about another, I'm doing 10 in the next 6 months, and we'll have another 8 or 10 coming up. So it sort of started off, now it's going like a real deep hockey stick kind of upswing. So, you know, and we also do public relations. So we do news releases for our clients. And even if you're not writing a book, you can still take advantage of our news release service, which is put out over the AP wires and often picked up by hundreds of organizations or news outlets, TV outlets around the world. If there's an interesting news story, something that newsworthy that you think might be appropriate, you can get a hold of me. And the best, actually, I'll just say this now and then I'll say it again. The best way to get a hold of me is right now through, because I'm a producer on Your Ultimate Life podcast, yourultimatelifepodcast.com/contact. Go to the contact page on Your Ultimate Life podcast and send me a message and put in publishing and I'll get to you. So that's what I do.
So that's fabulous. So I want to hear a little bit about the journey because, yeah, we've been together for 18 years now and and what I know about you, other people don't know. You're the kind of a person who just says I can do a thing and then figures out how to do it, even if it to someone else might be scary and daunting. So what, like you hadn't done anything like this before.
You've done some
design work and other things like
that. Lots of design work, yeah. So that wasn't, you know, so that part of it wasn't anything daunting or scary because, excuse me, dry talking like this. So that part wasn't daunting or scary at all. The piece that I hadn't done before is actually publish a book. Now, it started off because you, Kellen, when you had your first book published, you went with the traditional New York publishing house. They approached you and somebody approached somebody and agreed to publish the book. Now, one thing that there may be some myths about the publishing world is that a publishing house will market your book. And the other myth, and it's probably even a bigger myth, is that if you're uploading and sharing your book on Amazon, that they will market your book. And that is absolutely false. Amazon is a marketplace. They are not a marketing service. So when you upload your book or publish your book, the marketing and how many pieces that includes is up to you. However, if you hire, let's say, me as a publisher, we offer a range of things that are outside of what a normal publishing house would do, such as news releases, such as Amazon ads the correct way, such as getting your exposure on TikTok or like we like to say in the publishing world, book talk. It's a thing for authors and publishers. That's a big topic that people are interested in on TikTok. And then the other big place for marketing as well, that's a little out of the way and is a lot more reasonably priced than Facebook ads, is Pinterest. That's still, Pinterest today is like Facebook was 10 years ago. And it really is just almost in its infancy in some ways, with being able to upload videos. That's somewhat new to Pinterest. Or ads. Ads are super cheap on Pinterest compared to Facebook, or LinkedIn is very expensive for ads. So there's a way, ways to get things done with marketing your book that are, that certainly a traditional publishing house will absolutely not do.
What made you start? You said something about publishing my book with a New York house. What made you start? Because it wasn't a hobby. I mean, it's turned into a full blown business. And like you said in the beginning, you're a full on, full service publishing house. So what made you decide you wanted to do that?
Well, I think it was after your first book, and we had to figure out how to do marketing. And, you know, I met people who were in similar situations to me and said, you know, we've got this thing that you know, you can get a number one bestseller for that book. And then, you know, here's, you know, I had to join a program, well, not a program, a group to learn how to do that and, you know, implement certain software to, you know, figure out, you know, what is the best route and what are the best categories and when to publish, all that kind of stuff. So this is something that the New York publisher guys don't do, but this is something that me and many other publishers will do for our clients, is get them that bestseller, which is important. And you know, so it's partly came out of necessity when you were doing a second book, but it also came out of, you know, when I started hearing, I thought, how do other people get bestsellers? Like, how come they're not doing that for us? Well, they don't do that for us. So I had to go and search it out and figure out and find out and work out how to do that. Yes, I had some help as well with my peers in my publishing realm. And now, you know, that's just sort of a standard operating procedure for some of the publishers that I'm familiar with. The New York guys still don't do that. I think what they'll do is they'll write you a few emails. They'll tell you when to send them out, and that's it. You're on your own. You have to hire your own marketing squad to do it. So I just decided, I thought, you know what, if we're going to do this piece, I was already trained in graphic design and layout and design. Surely I can figure the rest of this out. So, you know, it's been over 10 years now. And you know, it and publishing keeps advancing, like different software is coming out to help people build an email list specifically for authors. So this isn't just out there in the general whatever world. It's a little more specific to publishers, that these are some kind of pro tip, inside secret kind of things on how to get people's books positioned to sell, and from there, Keynote product to make and create a business out of it, just like you've done with your 20 plus books that you've written. Many of the books that you've written, you've created Keynote speeches and products. So if you can do that, and you have a system of how you write books and then I publish them as well as other people's books, that's there's a business for you.
So right here above my shoulder, wrong shoulder, this one, it says, this one, www.dreambuildwriteit.com. That's a challenge we're going to hold. www.dreambuildwriteit.com if your listeners are interested. But here's the thing. Right now, we ran that challenge in February, and we've got 9 people that joined us to go over a 6-month period to get a book written, published, and all that stuff. What I'd like you to do now, because I always ask people what they're doing to add good to the world. People that pick you, and these 9 did, pick 10, counting me, because I'm writing a new one. What services do you offer that lets them, because, you know, people write books and they sit there on shelves and they have boxes in their garage and all those stories are legend. So what do you do to help people get get their books out, get some publicity, get them sold, and that other people maybe don't do or certainly don't do as well as you do?
Well, you know, one of the things is that people have to, you know, use those cliched words of, you know, get out of yourself, or maybe that's not, I don't even think that's a cliche, but I'm really terrible with cliches. But, you know, you have to put yourself out there, because just putting up a book on Amazon isn't going to go anywhere. People need to know about it. If you're thinking about writing a book, start talking about it now. Start sharing that journey, because what is it about? It's about stories. Stories sell. And the journey of a person writing a book and putting themselves out there on social media, like unless you want to go on the street and hold up a sign. I know a person who did that, and I thought, that's weird. But whatever. I mean, they didn't do it. They hired someone to go out and sign and market something. And you're just, you know, crossing your fingers that how many people will drive by in that, you know, out of the way neighborhood will see your sign. But a better way is to go on social media and start talking about it. The one mistake that people make is they start too late. They have a book coming out in a week, let's say, or a product or whatever it is. And they start talking about it a couple of days ahead of time. That doesn't give you or your audience enough time to get to know you, to get to like you, to get to trust you, to want to give you money, even if it's $10 or $20 for a book, or even less often for an ebook. So you need to start now. Maybe you're going to write a book next year. Maybe, I don't care. Start now to start planting those seeds, excuse me, because it takes time for something to grow. So for us, for me, for Red Aussie Publishing, we get people sorted with a type of branding. So we have banners that we create across social media. You shouldn't keep a static banner for years on end. You need to swap them up, because then that tells the algorithm there's something going on that page. Be visible in groups where there are authors, especially on LinkedIn, on Pinterest. You can do searches also on TikTok. So you need, if you're not visible, you are invisible. And the only way to get visible, sometimes you have to go out and wear bright red or bright purple or whatever it is to be seen. And I don't mean that literally, but you have to stand out in a crowd. And you can start by, you know, use AI. I mean, I use AI every single day. I know you do, Callan. If you're unsure, what do I say? What do I write about? Go into ChatGPT. It's best if you get the paid version, but even if you don't, type in that little box that says, you know, what do you want? You know, I'm writing a book in 2026. I want to start doing some social media posts. Write me, you know, half a dozen posts that I can talk about sharing the journey of writing a book, or words to that effect. When you get what you get back, then you can tailor it. You can change a couple of words, or you can post it as is. I usually just upload it as is. And if you have Canva, you can ask Chat to give you a prompt for Canva, where you can go in and type that prompt into Canva directly, and you'll get an image. So it's almost idiot proof. You've got, it spits out information for you, let's say 5 or 6 posts, and then in Canva you get the images as well. So there's really no excuse or no reason why somebody can't just take that text, copy it, paste it over in whatever platform you want. Same with the image, download, copy, upload it to your format, and you're done. The one other mistake that people make when it comes to this is they don't post often enough. You can't just say, well, I'm going to just do a post once a week or once every other week and hope that something's going to happen. Nothing will happen. You need to be posting daily. Now, Gary Vaynerchuk, who I follow and I like a lot, he suggests to do like 20 posts a day, 20, almost 24. Now, here's the thing. If you create a video for yourself, you can put it into something like a program like Opus Clip. It's an app, and you upload your video and it spits out two dozen, three dozen little short clips of video. And it even gives you the prompts. It even gives you the words of what you say. So all you have to do is just push a button and it automatically uploads to the platform, social media platform of your choice. TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, now X. Automatically. Of course, you have to link your platforms to Opus Clip, but it really cannot get any easier. You're not right. Now, if you want to be get some sort of specifics and maybe you want something bolder or you want, I don't know. But if you're starting out, that can't get any simpler. And even if you're creating images in Canva, you can upload it directly to a social platform. So these platforms are making it so easy for anybody to really do it. 30 minutes a day, 15 minutes a day. How many posts could you do in 15 minutes if they're already created for you? The other beauty about platforms directly in Canva and on Opus Clip is you can schedule it. Say, we don't have to be at your, you know, I travel a lot, so I don't have to be in front of my computer three times, five times, eight times a day to upload stuff, but I schedule it.
So what I'm hearing, and that's fabulous. What I asked was about the different things you do, and you've given a whole plethora of things.
Yeah.
You talked about AI. So I asked for an image, and I said I was going to do a podcast or an episode on authors and publishing and so forth. And I got this image in 2-3 minutes from ChatGPT.
Is that the one that's behind you?
Yeah, some books.
Yeah, that looks pretty good.
And there's a book on the table, and there's a couple of microphones, one over
each shoulder. That looks like my background. Mine's real.
I know yours is real. You have those shelves there, but mine's green. I have a green screen. My point is this. AI is not to replace. It's not to plagiarize. It's not to cheat. It's not to do any of those things. So if you've got that nonsense floating around your head, get rid of it. It is a tool. I described it very carefully. It did not think of this. I told it what I wanted. I told it to use some quasi-bright colors, not too bright. And I told it was a podcast or a LA show like this. And I told it what to do, and it gave me, and I've gotten quite good at that. So what Joyce is telling you is to use these tools to help you start talking about your book. Now, AI, Chatty, or anything else isn't going to know what you're writing your book about unless you tell it. It's not going to know what you know unless you tell it. So if you have a topic you want to write about, then usually those topics come from your life experience. You've been through some difficult thing, you know, death in the family, illness, bankruptcy, betrayal, struggles, depression, personal demons. The list is infinite. And then you work and you overcome that, or you manage it, you get your life back and you're like doing okay. When that happens, insatiably, a yearning rises up in nearly every human, and it says, how can I help somebody with this? Wow, I sure would like to help somebody not suffer or struggle like I did. That is universal. That yearning comes up. And this publishing business and writing a book, that is the best way to do it. And I'll tell you why. You could say, well, I'm going to go start talking and give keynotes about it. And you can. But the discipline of mining your life, mining the events of your life, and then figuring out how to write a book, which is essentially a monologue, there's nothing like it that prepares you for half a dozen products that you can sell into the market to be of service, half a dozen keynotes that you could give. It arms you with an entire business worth of product and service that you can offer to the right audience. Now, I have stories. Joy has stories. You listeners, you have stories too. And everybody in the world isn't going to be interested in your story. But there are going to be some that have been waiting for your voice, your nuance, your story, your thing, your particular take on a thing, or your resilience that you demonstrated, your similarity to them. And they're waiting for you. And you can live with the idea, I'm not good enough, I can't do this, nobody'd listen, in which case you're right and you won't do it. Or you could say, you know what? Technology is making it easy. Doing this show just a few years ago, we couldn't have done this kind of thing. I have clients all over the world. People in my book challenge are from all over the place. I got a guy in Luxembourg that's joining the challenge in June. which is the one that I'm telling you about right now. Dream, Build, Write It. Sorry, I keep pointing to the wrong one. So he's going to be on the challenge in June, and he lives in Luxembourg. And that kind of thing is possible. So the audience is infinite. Your tools make it easier and easier. And there's no reason not to. So if you've been telling yourself, you know, I really should do that, this is the time. Go to this Dream, Build, Write It right now and sign up. Joy, I want to ask you another question. One of the things I know about you is you are a fanatic about doing a good job and helping people really succeed, as opposed to just doing something that is like good enough to get done. I want you to talk a little bit about what is it that drives you to make sure that people win? Because I know you do that. I know the amount of time and effort you spend with different clients and the effort you put into making their stuff good. Talk a little bit about what drives you.
Well, you know, I'm wondering out loud if it's so much about me wanting them to win, but I also want to win. You know, I don't want to drag people around, you know, come on, time to get, you know, we got to, you know, you got to make a decision on your cover. And I do that every single time. So sometimes it feels like I want it more than they want it. But at the end of the day, Red Aussie Multimedia, Red Aussie Publishing, my name is behind that. And I want to ensure that clients that I choose them, that, you know, they're going to perform up to my potential. That, you know, a lot of these people, you know, they don't have experience in this, and one has to be careful because they don't have that experience. Maybe they talk to a friend or a neighbor, or their dog walker's mother's best friend, or they've read something on somewhere, and, you know, a little bit of knowledge, and they think that somehow, you know, they have other ideas about how things should work. But I think at the end of the day, I have a system, I have guidelines for this system, and I guarantee people that if they follow the steps that I outline, as I've outlined them, they don't necessarily need to understand why, because I have a 10 plus year track record of doing this over and over and over again, that the success will come. And I do want them to bring to me their best, because I'm going to sure as heck give them their best. And when my name is up beside theirs, you know, as their publisher, I want to ensure that my legacy with my publishing company is kept intact, and they have a fantastic product that they can be proud of. A lot of times I do have to bring people kicking and screaming, because they do get married to a particular color or a particular cover or a particular font or whatever it is. They get really, really attached to it. And you can't do that. This is a marketing tool, unless it's your legacy book, your autobiography, I don't know. But it at the end of the day, another end of the day, it is a marketing tool to help you further your business, to help you create a business and grow a business. So I have a certain standard, and I'm going to ensure that the people that I work with, and that the clients who bring their books to me, that they know that they're going to get the best, and I expect the best from them. Often, you know, with publishing, it's not exactly a two-way street, because there are certain things that I have to do that they don't have to do. And when I'm looking at something to market, it does need to be the best product. Now, they can ignore my advice. Many, you know, there's been a couple of times when people have ignored my advice, and they haven't been happy with their product. So there is a fine line. It's like a design, or any kind of designer. So there used to be that show, Project Runway. I used to love that show just for the design aspect of it. And they would have these challenges where they would have to design something for their, you know, their sort of fake client kind of thing, right? So it would be a woman or a man or whatever. And so they had to really marry their own aesthetic, their own authenticity with what the client wanted. And sometimes that didn't match. And when it was a mismatch, it showed in the end product. The publisher or the designer was unhappy and the client was unhappy. So setting out expectations at the outset, saying it's not really a democracy when it comes to something like this, because there are rules that I have to follow in publishing. There are rules, and that the best success they will have is if they step in line. Follow along.
You know, you go to the doctor, and some people might argue with their doctor, but at the end of the day, the doctor's the one that knows what to do. And I think some people don't realize that publishing effectively, marketing effectively, getting your book visibility, getting sales, and getting that kind of thing is not random. It's a set of practice.
It's not random.
You have a long history of doing that and a lot of experience. And so,
well, and there's a reason why something is tried and true and tested and works. And it's like, why would I screw with that? Why would I say, you know what, this worked for 10 years, 11 years. I'm going to just throw that out and listen to somebody else who, you know, you're not going to do that. But the other thing that's cool about publishing is while certain procedures are the same, there's new tools coming on all the time. Like 10 years ago, we didn't have, maybe you could have done a book trailer, but it was really hard to do. Today, there's software that you just plunk in a cover. And I have software that does that. You upload a book cover and you type in a few words. I mean, I'm making it really simple, but it is pretty simple and it's slick too. And not a lot of people are doing book. We have movie trailers, and I don't know. I don't know if I've ever seen Have you seen a book trailer before? Maybe.
I remember some years ago, Doug Green was talking about those. Remember he was talking about doing that, but that was in the days of doing it the hard way.
The hard way. Now, with software today, it makes it easier. Now, these are templates, and I do have the software to do that, so I'm always playing around with the different software packages that I have, because if you're looking to self-publish, which is a terrible idea, by the way, you're not going to be getting all that software. What most people do when they self-publish is they go the El Cheapo route, because that's why they're self-publishing. They, you know, whip up a little thing in Canva and they, uploaded some cow to Amazon, and it's an ebook. Or if they do get it printed, it looks usually pretty wonky, and it looks like, you know, a craft project essentially. So, and when you're looking to market your book, many outlets, book outlets, or cruise ships, or libraries, or book fairs, they do not want self-published books. They absolutely do not want that, because their credibility is on the line. So when you talk about, you know, how do you get the best, or, you know, I do the best for the client, because it's also my name on the line. And same with these organizations, it's their name on the line. So there's a lot of things that go on behind the scenes that I don't talk about with clients, because it's, you know, I just like a doctor doesn't have to, they don't do every little note that they take on you. I mean, I don't know, maybe that's not the best example, but you know, they've signed up for a project, and I deliver a damn good project for them too.
You know, one of the things that I noticed, and I've heard this several times among your clients, is they'll think, they have the misconception that because you, someone that they know, is doing this and not some nameless, faceless corp in New York or Chicago or London, that they are self-publishing and you just happen to be helping with that. And that is just not true.
No, that's not true.
You are a mid-tier. Yeah. You're not, you know, Houghton Mifflin, but you're a mid-tier publisher. Ooh. Houghton Mifflin is a big, in Random House.
Never heard of them.
Well, they're the New York publishers. All right. The New York, Wiley and Sons, you know them. All right. The New York publishers.
A little bit funny. Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So they're not self-publishing.
No.
When you use a publisher, even if they're not one with 7,000 books, 30, and she'll have 50 by the end of the year, you're not self-publishing. You're
getting
full ride publishing service.
You are. And that, you know, it's taken me 10 years at the beginning, sort of trial and error, but I think out of the gate, I mean, I, you know, got you a number one bestseller for Tightrope that your New York guys didn't do. And, you know, I don't own their books. They do, because, you know, I it's on their platform, not mine, not like on Amazon. So, you know, I think it's the best of both worlds. And, you know, I know a number of publishers like me who we've kind of got down a system of how to work things. And each of us does a little bit, you know, a few things are a little bit different. I'm a little bit more into the technical new software stuff, just because there's so many things coming out and there's so many things that you can do. So for example, like people say, well, I don't really have much of a presence socially. So what's fantastic is that, you know, I have a software package, a software program that we upload a portion of your book. It chooses the chapters which it thinks are the best, and then it sends it out for people to review. So you get the reviews, you get the emails. That's pretty slick. They didn't have that 10 years ago. You know, you had to do it, build it the old way of creating pages and opt-ins. And now there are services out there and software out there that essentially it does it for you. Now, you have to have a good product, because you can't just put crap out there and expect it to blossom, because it's people today are a lot more savvy, I think, when it comes to the types of books they want to read and the material that they want to consume, and it has to be good. The cream rises to the top. Is that a cliche? I think that's correct.
The cream does rise to the top. Well, so
I'm dairy free, so above my head.
Yeah. So what you the cream rises above your head. Yes, anyway, so what you're saying, and this is a really good time to make that point, and that is this. It's easy to say, wow, there's all these tools and ChatGPT AI and, you know, software that sends out this, that, and the other. And we make it sound easy and like there's no effort and guaranteed this and that. It's not.
The truth is,
you have to have good stuff to say.
You do. Yeah.
And you have to have something that matters to say. And that's where this dream, build, write it that I was talking about comes in. Because your life story, the challenges, the resilience, the things that you have done and demonstrated and done are valuable and powerful. And you have to learn how to tell the stories, how to mine your life like you mine for gold. If I just yell at the dirt, or, you know, I'm not going to get rich. I have to figure out how to mine, where to go, how to pan or do whatever I'm going to do to refine the ore I'm digging up. So it's the same thing. So the software tools that you're talking about and processes make things easy to do. And if you want success, you have to have good stuff to do it with.
Right.
And that's the good product piece. And that's why, you know, just like having you guide someone through a publishing process, it's important to have someone also guide you through the story creating process and how you decide and choose what things you want to emphasize in your books, keynotes, products, and services.
You know, and I've had over the years all sorts of different clients. Some want to be really, really, you know, they need to know every step of the way. And finally, I had to say to one person, it's like, we're not having these weekly convos anymore. Like, I just can't do it. You know, I have worked, you know, I'm not working on your book while I'm talking to you for an hour about whatever it is, you know, because certain forms to be filled out and certain things. Like, I don't work that way. You know, I know what I have to do and I know what the client has to do. I'm waiting on the client for many things because they can't decide. And then, you know, it's the decision-making process that can slow things down. Sorry, my throat's really dry talking.
That's all right. Take a drink. get all tuned up. I remember that client. And again, as an interviewer, I wouldn't know that if we weren't married, but I remember the challenge of someone trying to micromanage to the degree that it became practically impossible to finish their work.
Well, and I think there's also that misconception that because, you know, I'm not a New York, I don't have an office in New York, that somehow like this is a democracy or it's purely collaborative. It isn't. You know, after 10 years now, going on 11 years of doing this every day, I've learned a few things over the years. And while it may not gel with some people, you know, they have their own social media people and that. Have your own social media people. I don't care. Have 10 of them. I don't care. But when it comes to books, that's what I care about. When it comes to putting up posts about your writing or your books or the book process, that's my domain. And, you know, it would be best to, since you've hired me, behooves you to listen and do whatever you want with your other social stuff. Great. Go to town on it. But there are certain things that you can start. And actually, here's another, I guess it's a bit of a pro tip, but people I'm sure know this. So, you know, if you don't have a big audience, if you have people, you don't, you know, you're kind of dabbling with social media a little bit here and there. One thing you can do is you can go onto Fiverr. You can search for memes, like you can search for motivational memes, motivational quotes, and you can buy a year's worth, like literally 500 for like $15 US. And many people, so the guy I use, awesome, $15, I got 400 or 500 of them, and they provide the captions. So that means like they have the headline already written in there. You just have to upload it and boom, you know, and people like, you can put your, I put my own logo on there. So I've got my logo with, you know, the URL, but it's very subtle. It's small. It's at the bottom, but there's a quote, there's a picture, you know, by whoever. You can put in, you know, your favorite authors, et cetera, et cetera. And that's how you can start. Put up 3 of those a day. People like those. They like to interact with types of quotes because you're not asking people for money. You're not asking them to go anywhere. You're not asking them to do anything. All they have to do is look at it, think, oh, yeah, that's pretty cool. I agree with that. Click like. Maybe they'll make a comment, which is what we want people to do. And every so often, you can put in then something about what you're doing and boost that post. $3 a day for 5 days, $2 a day for a few days, it's very low, $1 a day, you know, for a week, you'll see a result. And that's just how you start to build. But you need to be consistent. If you don't want to do it yourself, again, go on Upwork or go on Fiverr and have someone do it for you.
The thing that I'm getting from what you're teaching there is, number one, you have to start. It isn't going to take care of itself. No one's going to come and do that work for you. 2, start now, even if you're publishing a book in 6 months, because establishing a presence, meaning you're starting to show up. And the quotes, when you say get memes and quotes and things, you know, social media is memed to death. We all know that. However, if you, whoever you are, like me, I'm a high performance coach. And so I'm about performance and perseverance and discipline and focus and with a huge spiritual side to that, to recognize your divine capability. So I wouldn't post memes about gardens. I wouldn't post memes about cartoons, but it's the presence that I have created on social is well known for being personal achievement, high performance, making money in business, but in an ethical way designed to add good to the world. That's what this show's about. How do you add good to the world and make a living? Well, I do it and I teach people how to do that.
Exactly.
So your idea, I don't want to leave the impression, and you didn't, but you don't just throw memes up about anything. You pick who you are, and you get things that demonstrate, and all you're doing with these postings is creating some noise in the vast space of noise that's the color or the sound or the style or the message that you want to represent you. And if you, yes, there's a whole sea of it, but if you don't start, you're never going to create any presence or any motion in that ocean at all.
Right. And it needs to be authentic. So I know a guy in the book promotion business. He's very big on Pinterest. And what he does is he has picked a few topics that he wants to post about. One of them is about funny animal pictures, I think it is. And so everyone, you know, daily, whatever it is, he posts a funny animal picture, but that's authentic to himself. And that's a light. And I mean, I do that too. I mean, who doesn't like to see some funny, well, I guess if you don't like cats or dogs, I suppose, but if, you know, everybody likes to look at cute pictures of dogs doing stupid things or cat doing, you know, falling in the toilet, or, you know, like just silly things like that. And what you find when you post something like that, but it's got to be authentic to something that you, like I would, because I love animals. We have a whole house full of animals. So we would do that. I would do that. And, you know, when you see the reaction, because it's non-threatening, you get 20 likes, 30 likes, 50 likes, 100 likes. Like, it's just crazy. When you follow that up with doing something that's a little more closer to your heart, like it's closer to your business without being promotional, it just feeds on that. So go with it. But it's got to be authentic. It's got to be stuff that you're interested in, whether it's pickleball or funny cat video pictures or wherever and whatever it is you're interested in. The authenticity piece will show. And we know that when we watch certain politicians on TV, whether you're in Canada, US, or Europe, you can tell and you go, yeah, it just doesn't sound like them. I don't know. You know, it's the same thing with social media. If it rings true, if it looks, you know, true, people are going to respond to that. They always have and they always will. Social media isn't, you know, that hasn't changed about social media.
So I want you to just pull this back into business for a minute, because the ultimate life idea is purpose, prosperity, and joy. And we've given all kinds of tips and good ones about ways to start creating marketing efforts for your book. Can you describe what are three or four ways, or as many as you want, where people might make money? In other words, the return on their investment to hire you as a publisher. What else can they do besides selling books? Because most books, the truth is, most people aren't J.K. Rowling, Stephen King, or Tom Clancy. No. So you're not going to sell a million books, and you're not going to get rich doing that. And most people know that, but they look to other things. The book is a tool to build. So what else do you have people do, or can they do to maximize or leverage the fact that they have a book?
Well, you know, there's a number of things. Like, for example, I know a lady, she is an author, and she started a podcast for other authors. So she only interviews authors, and she has started to get sponsors. She charges people to be on, you know, a guest appearance, and that's how she's starting to make money. And she's also teaching other people how to do what she does. So you have a book, it's a tool, it's like a big fancy business card. You can use it to get talks, paid talks or unpaid talks. If you have a program to sell whatever it is at the back of the room and you bring books to sell, or you can give them away. When you have a, let's say you're going a conference, perhaps it's whether you're a nurse or in the medical field or whatever field you're in, often conferences will have a budget for, not for necessarily buying the materials per se, but they'll buy your books. So you can make money that way with having 200, 300 books at a conference. That's maybe not part of a paid fee, but you get the money from the book anyway, because you've bought them at author copies, you've sold them for X, and the conference organizer builds in that cost into the ticket price of the event. Because often events aren't free today, they're a few hundred dollars. And you can use that as, you know, to build your business. You can appear on radio shows, you can appear on television's harder, but radio or podcast is the best. Often people have an idea that they want to use that book for a program. A lot of people then start programs from their book. So you create a program. Starting off, I'd probably start off with a keynote. And often people are coaches too. So they'll teach the principles, whatever it is that their book is about, and then they'll just teach it to other people. Maybe they'll start a group coaching session. Maybe they'll have in-person events. You know, I don't deal with fiction writers, but even fiction writers tell people or teach people how to do certain things, like how to make a great cover for fiction, because creating a cover for fiction is different than creating a cover for nonfiction. So there's a lot of how-tos that you can do based on that book. I think that's, did that answer your question?
That's absolutely. And I want you to know, all of you that are listening, that every single one of those things that she said, we've done. So yes. I've created keynotes, exactly. I've been paid for them. I've gotten coaching programs. I've gotten clients. Yes. I've taught people to do. So none of those are made up and none of them were pulled out of the air. They're all real life, rubber meets the road ways that you can monetize your book. So
those are the most popular ways, aren't they? I mean, they really are the most popular ways. You know, I'm sure
you
there's
have a
others.
Yearning. The thing that causes you to write your book is you have a yearning to help people with whatever it is you overcame. And then to helping them involves more than a book. The book's a $20 tool. You give it to them and you don't know if they do anything or not. And when you offer follow-up help, follow-up conversation, et cetera, in any form, a course or a coaching program or whatever, you have a much bigger chance to touch their lives.
Or a physical product too. There's physical products you can use as well. You know, if you're writing like I want, you know, starting a skincare line. So maybe I might write about some of that stuff and you should ahead of time. And then you can follow it up with a product. So, you know, the possibilities are endless.
So, Joy, we're coming just about to the end of our hour here.
Excellent.
I want to thank you. I want to thank you for being on the show here today and sharing with people about your publishing company, how you got in it, how you learned it. And how you've now become excellent and you are now an established mid-tier publisher and your passion is to help people spread their message. Thank you.
Absolutely. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
So I want you to take time to go back and listen. You know, Joy, as you know, she's my partner, business partner, life partner, and we've been together 18 years and I hope it's another 18 million because she's an angel and I'm blessed beyond measure to have her in my life. The reason is because it's just an example. She had an idea. She's become good at it. She's dedicated the time and effort to move forward with it. And it's in service, not only of business, but of helping other people just like you. So if you have an idea, dreambuildwriteit.com. Go there, sign up. Love to see you. It doesn't even cost anything. Let's get to know each other. And let's see if you've got something that you want to share with the world. That is your best source of material and your best source of power. The things you have done, known, and been through are your master keys. They're your gold mine. And using them is the best and fastest way for you to create your ultimate life.
You're listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flukiger, only on LA Talk Radio.